Grace you in peace in the name of our crucified Savior Jesus. Amen. The story is told of a ship crossing the bay on a stormy night when suddenly the engine stopped, and for a few minutes the situation was one of peril. One woman rushed to the captain and said, "Are we in danger of our lives?" "Ma'am," the captain replied, "we must trust in God." "Oh my," she cried out, "has it come to that?" For many people, the call to trust in God is seen as a last resort. When all else fails, when we have used up our last idea, when we've done all that we can do, then we turn to God. God is seen as kind of our safety chute. We only use him if our main chute doesn't open. Faith in God is only for those who can't handle life or who can't make it on their own. The capable and the self-sufficient don't need God, right? At least, that's what we're so often told by our society. We Christians often get a little defensive when folks speak of believers in this way, don't we? As the weak, as those who are needy, as those who can't make it on our own. But it's true. Faith in God truly is only for those who can't make it on their own. Even Jesus said that. He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. What many folks don't realize, though, is that this applies to everyone. We all need help. St. Paul wrote in Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Since our main chute never opens, our safety chute is not only our last resort, it is our only resort. Faith in God is not to be our last attempt at hope. It is to be our first and our only attempt. God alone can give us the healing of which we are in need. The ship's captain realized that whether the situation was one of complete peril or not, the answer to the question is still always, we must trust in God. For our service this evening, we will continue our Lenten theme of a time for renewal, with the focus this evening being that of renewal in our faith. Our text is two verses from chapter 3 of Paul's letter to the Romans. He said, "They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." These two verses served as the heart of a text that was the basis of a course that I took my fourth year in the seminary. We spent an entire quarter on this theme and this text. The theme was justification by faith. Now, needless to say, these three words in this small text obviously pack a whole lot of meaning if we as a seminary class could spend a whole quarter just on this. But this evening, we're going to attempt to do it justice in only our few minutes together. In these two brief verses of Romans 3, Paul states, or he stresses, I should say, that justification is a free gift of God's grace. He says it four times in four different ways. Justified freely by his grace, redemption that came by Christ Jesus, and God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. Paul states that God and God alone justifies, redeems, and atones, and all by grace. The work of redemption belongs entirely to Him. Now, I know in our Lutheran circles we use these terms a lot, but I don't know if we always understand what they mean. We're going to kind of look at them again. Justification is courtroom language. It means simply that God, as the judge, declares us to be righteous. Redemption is a term that was used in the buying of slaves in the marketplace. God redeemed us. He bought us. He paid for us so that now we belong to Him. Atonement is theological language. It's the reconciling or the uniting of that which was estranged or separated through some type of payment or some type of satisfaction. And in each of these cases, Paul emphasizes that they are the work of God because of His grace. We do nothing to earn or to merit this grace. No more than a convict can acquit himself or a slave can buy himself, can we free ourselves from our sin. But God has justified us freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Paul's about as explicit and clear as you could possibly be in what he states, and yet still so often people misunderstand what he says. Or maybe they just ignore it. I don't know. But what Paul desperately tries to stress as free grace is so often misconstrued in a myriad of ways. I'll give you a couple examples. Faith is often viewed as our part in the salvation equation. Christ died for us on the cross, and now it's our job to believe in Him. Turns faith into a work. What we must do in order to get God's grace. And that's wrong. Sometimes faith is taught as merely an intellectual understanding rather than a relationship. And this type of idea of faith leaves out infants and small children. It leaves out the mentally ill and the handicapped. And that's wrong. Oftentimes, when tragedy strikes in our lives, we tend to think that we must not have believed strong enough, or this wouldn't have happened to us. But that places our faith into the position of God Himself, so that we trust in our faith rather than trusting in Him. And again, that's wrong. Finally, some people talk of faith as a requirement that must be fulfilled before then we can receive salvation. Again, if it's something that we have to do, something that is required of us, it does not fall under the category of free gift of God. And that is then plainly wrong. Faith is not something we do, something we earn, something we say. It is something that God gives. Faith is the gift of God to acknowledge, to accept, to cling to His presence, to His love, to His sacrifice. Faith, at its essence, is really nothing more than the willingness in the heart to say to God, "Yes, Lord." Soon after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised to send them a Savior. Yes, Lord. God kept that promise by sending his son to this earth as a small baby, a baby named Jesus. Yes, Lord. Jesus was both true man and true God. Yes, Lord. Jesus died on a cross at a place called Golgotha. On this very day, so many years ago, to pay the punishment for my sin, for your sin, for our sin. Yes, Lord. Jesus rose from the grave on the third day, a day we call Easter, to be our everlasting and ever living Lord and Savior. Yes, Lord. Jesus ascended into heaven to make a room ready for us in his Father's heavenly mansion. Yes, Lord. And one day, Jesus is coming back to take us to live with him in his kingdom. Yes, Lord. How can faith possibly be something that we do? It can't. God has already done it all. There's nothing left for us to do. He came. He lived. He died. He rose. He ascended. He washed us in baptism. He unites us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. He uplifts us through his word. The work, as Christ stated on the cross, is finished. From beginning to end, he's done it all. He created us. He redeemed us. He saved us. He forgave us. He justified us. He atoned for us. And he still loves us and leads us and protects us and provides for us each and every day of our lives. On this day of our Lord's death, as we come together in this place to praise him and to thank him for doing everything, and I do mean everything for us, as we look to the empty cross on which our Lord Jesus suffered and died for our redemption, we are renewed in our faith as we remember his sacrifice. And as we respond in faith with solemn devotion, yes, Lord, to God be the glory, the gift of his Son, Jesus. Amen.